Now, all through the Word of God talks about sowing and reaping. I don't have to go to another scripture probably for you guys about, you know, what Galatians says about, you know, sowing bountifully to the Lord and so on. But I want all the new people to understand that I teach about finances for about 5 minutes every service. And I know the guys that minister up here while I'm gone, I've asked them to do the same thing, and here's why. And by the way, for all the new people, I do not take a salary at this church. Probably never heard that before from any minister that pastors a church, because primarily, well, besides my dad's pastor, Butch Bruton, in Caddo Mills, Texas, he doesn't take a salary as well. Because we live by faith, and I don't want to be tied down to how should I say this? I think it's real important that every single one of us understands that God's the provider. And when He's the provider, then you can go to Him and say, God, I mean, the truck payment is due. And if you'll start learning biblically how to go into the principle that God set for all of us believers, Christians, that principle called sowing and reaping, it'd change your life. It'd cause you to owe no man but to love them, as the Word says. I mean, you want to talk about get out of debt. Man, get out of debt. And don't live under that bondage. And living in the world, but not of the world, a lot of times we get confused about debt and, you know, having to go borrow and things like that. And I'm not saying borrowing is a sin, but I just kind of like the Word where it says that you're supposed to be the lender and not the borrower. Okay, in order for us to get to that place, then we got to learn about it in the Bible. Now, my family being raised, my dad being a pastor since 1970, mom and dad leading music or being the pastor of churches all growing up, was always afraid to say anything about money because they didn't want to split the church. I mean, just for some reason, it freaked people out. And I never understood that, being raised in the ministry. And so I finally started learning in this Bible when I was in college what it says about finances. And that's why I can testify to you today, not having any, by the way. I mean, most everybody knows that my dad worked for John Wayne the Duke when I was born in 1969 in Casa Grande, Arizona. But I always say he did not have John Wayne's money. John Wayne would come from Hollywood and he would come, you know, to the ranch, 26 Bar Ranch in Casa Grande, and, you know, just to get away from California. But we were just the ranch hand. My dad has his picture, you know, has a taco hat. That's what I call it. Back then, it was, man, they had, I mean, it wasn't flared out like a bull rider. It was up. I said, how's that going to cover your ears? They didn't care then. And boy, that taco hat and then those glasses that were real thin and that all you gray hair folks wear. Quiet in the church, please. We had to start learning, what does the Bible say about finances? Why is it so scary? Is the church just trying to get it from us? Is that preacher just trying to get rich? I heard all that. All that was spoke to us growing up. They're just trying to get our hard-earned money. And I found out that actually God is not trying to get it from you. He's trying to get it to you. But He, as you know, He cannot get it to you unless He can get it through you. Anybody that is a giver is, I'll show you someone that's ultimately blessed. I mean, they're just, when you just sow to people, man, I mean, the favor of God comes on you. If you'll be a blessing to your boss, I'll show you someone that will just move up in the ladder of favor financially. But if you just try to get by, They don't pay me enough to work harder. Then you're going to stay at that level, because that goes against the principle of sowing and reaping. So today, when you give to the Lord, I want you to give with that mind that you are sowing a seed into the kingdom of God. And that seed, if it's watered with the word of God, in other words, just speak life over it. Father, I sow this seed to you as a seed to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the uttermost parts of the world. I mean, whatever you say. And then water it with the word. Father, I just thank you, Lord, that that seed will be returned. This is Luke, by the way, 6:38. If you'll give, it'll be given unto you with a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. It'll cause men to give unto your bosom. Well, see, that's fertilizing that word. And then what comes after that? Harvest. Any good farmer knows, especially coming from Lubbock and Leveland. Woo! There's a lot of farmland up there. And they are expecting a harvest to come when they plant that seed. It's the same thing with your seed of finances. It's the same thing with your seed of just speaking kindness over someone, speaking love over someone. If you sow love, you're going to get love back. If you sow hate, then that's what's going to come back to you. If you sow unfriendliness, then you're not going to have many friends. But I'm telling you, if you'll live by this word, it'll produce for you a harvest that the word says will bring it back to you 30, 60, or 100-fold. And I just want to testify this morning, I'm agreeing for 100-fold. Amen. Amen? So when you give, I want you to give in that bucket, in that bucket. And if you're a visitor and you filled out your card, would you bring it up or send it with someone and come give with a big old shout of praise. You ready? Yeah. Is that you?
So thankful to be here this morning. Thankful that Brother Corey is here this morning. I thank God that he's okay. He's covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm so thankful for the promises of God this morning. And I saw this week Brother Corey's testimony and how the Lord brought him through. And he alluded to Psalms 91. And he said, I could say that this morning, Psalms 91. And you just raise up your hand and receive that as promises from the Lord this morning. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise and pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not fear for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy right hand, and 10,000 at thy side, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Therefore there shall no evil befall thee, nor shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against the stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Woo! Deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. Y'all claim those promises from the Lord this morning. The promises of God are true. And the song I'm singing this morning is Mercy Walked In. And the Lord just laid this on my heart. You know, sometimes we're our own accuser. We try to live under guilt in the past, but I'm here to tell you this morning there's mercy. Mercy walked in. I stood in the courtroom. The judge turned It looks like you're guilty. Now what do you say? I answer, Your Honor, I have no defense, but that's when mercy walked in. Yes, oh, mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Come to the stand, was God saving grace? The blood was presented that covered my sin. Forgiven when mercy walked in. I stood there and wondered, now how could this be, that someone so guilty had just been set free? My chains were all broken, I felt born again. The moment mercy walked in, yes, mercy walked in and pleaded my case. Come to the stand, was God saving grace? The blood was presented that covered all my sin. The moment that mercy walked in, yes, the blood was presented that covered all. Mercy walked in. My Jesus walked in. Yes, he did. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Great song. God bless you.
I love you.
Love you too. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Well, is the youth going today? Huh? A few? It's up to you. You want to stay in? Well, let's just let the youth stay in if they want to. And but the kids, with a big round of applause, can be dismissed. Amen? Man, I like it when the youth go, but I also like it when they can stay and hang out with us. And we got a great youth pastor and great youth group. Normally, I'd have you go out and hang out with all your peers, but we're getting to where we need to split the junior high and the youth. And man, thank y'all for just hanging out with us in those times of growth. Thank you, Jesus. How many brought your Bible this morning? Let me see them. That section, not bad. Man, look at all those phones, iPads. This is a different world, man. Come on, hold your Bible up. Is it up? All right. Praise the Lord. Then, really, it's spread out pretty good. I don't have to preach to one section. We're going to be talking about Psalms 91, if you want to start kind of heading over there. Let me catch you up on what happened, if you didn't You didn't know. I was just left Cheyenne. We roped, and we had a few days to hang out, and went to Ogallala, Nebraska. We probably went there on Friday, Thursday of the last week, and man, we was having a good time. Everything was going great. I was gonna practice and tune up my horses. I'd made the short round or the progressive round at Sheridan, Wyoming, and I was riding my mare that I kind of trained, and that big crowd. I was concerned about how that crowd would or how she would respond to this crowd. And I'm not much of a mare guy, kind of like Gildon's there. You know, women are kind of crazy, you know. And, I heard some amens from women. That's good. I figured I'd get killed, but man, she's a great, great horse. Man, 10-year-old little sorrel horse, and just does everything right. Matter of fact, the talk of the steer roping world. I mean, you know, the best in the world, Trevor Brazil and my buddy Tuff Cooper and all of them. They're commenting on this horse, and she was good. But I wanted to tune her up, and I was going to ride my other horse on the first two, and then I was going to ride her on the second two in Ogallala at a little jackpot, and so I'm going to hurt my back. And I didn't get to tune her up or anything. But I got it popped back in. Thank the Lord for a chiropractor up there that got me going that night at 9:30 at night. I don't know how I got a hold of the guy, but he answered the number that I saw on the website and happened to be his cell phone. And so it was a good time to kind of get tuned up. You know, when you're out there on the rodeo field, especially professionally, you don't get time to practice because you're going from one rodeo to the next. And here I'm ministering at the majority of them and trying to stay, you know, professional, because I figure if I'm going to enter the rodeo, then I don't want to lose. Anybody out there? And so I moved up to about 13th in the world, went about 20,000, and then got dropped down to about 16th or so. And so I just wanted to tune up and didn't get to it at Ogallala. And so we went to Burwell, Nebraska, to that rodeo. It's one of the bigger rodeos in Nebraska. And I jumped out and I broke the barrier and missed my first one. A little disgusted. I called home and I said, I need a talking to. I'm telling you, I should have never said that to my wife, because, man, son of a gun. She said, you're a professional. Get with it. I said, okay, that's good enough. We don't need to talk much more until after I rope. And she laughed just like that. Let me tell you what I did. Before I rope, I plead the blood of Jesus over me, over my horse, over the steers that I rope. I don't want anything hurt. I plead the blood and charge angels to protect the other ropers and so on. I was about the seventh man out in the first round, which then they reversed the order in the second round. It's a three-header in the steer roping. And I'm at the end, and all that ground that those 60-plus horses went through was really tore up. Normally, they'll drag, like when we do our big steer roping here. I like to drag about halfway just because, you know, it's just like in the barrel race. You know, it digs that ground up. When you rope that steer and they're moving, it digs it up. And I drew a steer that I knew was going to try a little bit, was going to run. And so I decided to get off of the mare, and I wanted to get on Zippy. I knew Zippy has been there, done that. He's about 17. He's you know, he's won me a lot of money. And I thought, you know what, I'm just... And the steers were huge, big steers. a little bit bigger than we're used to roping and steer roping nowadays. And so I thought, you know what? Zippy's a little bigger. My mare's a little bit smaller. And I don't want to hurt her. I need her for the rest of the season. I got 20 rodeos left, and I need her. I get on Zippy. And I tell you what, I got to start. And I know this video went viral because, as a matter of fact, the Professional Rodeo Cowboy Association called me to take it down because they didn't want Shark and PETA and all those animal rights groups to get a hold of it. And so I did, and that's why you can't see the video now. But it was a gruesome video, and I just happened to be the lead star in it. And when I came out, and I'm getting to this steer, I was real aggressive, and I roped him, and it just happened to be in the worst part of the ground, and it was really dug up. And when my horse went to go left, and he got on his rear, one of his back feet stepped on the front feet, and he pulled that shoe off into a S. That caused that horse not to be able to get out there, and that horse started falling. Now, what I remember is I remember going, and the horse starts stumbling, and then I'm thinking in my mind, oh, crap. I don't know why I said that word. Forgive me. Any kids in here, but that's just what I thought in my mind. A little better than any other cuss word. Give me an amen. And I'm thinking, oh, man, what's going to happen here? And anyway, that horse didn't just ease over. He slammed me to the ground. And it was such a violent hit that 20 minutes after it happened, my wife got calls that I was killed in the arena. And it started spreading across the country that I was killed, because that's how normally you don't survive those things. If you do, then you've got, you know, major brain damage. And I'm just going to testify, regardless of what someone like that tries to kid with me, I don't have brain damage. I'm serious about that now. I don't remember anything while I was there. But let me tell you what happened. Is contestants, all my friends, there's dozens and dozens, and their wives jumped the fence to run towards me and lay hands on me. One national finalist wife said she laid hands on my right side. There was another girl, and then of course the guys were, if you watched the video, and some of you that got to see it, you saw my mentor, three-time world champion Scott Snedeker, running towards me, because it looks like, if you watch the video, that when that horse goes down and I hit, and I mean bam, that he was on me, but he really wasn't. They spread the word that legs were broke. I was killed, of course, and I'm alive. Amen. But that horse was trying to get up. Now, he was tied to a steer, too. I mean, it was, the trip was there, and it laid that steer down like it's supposed to. I'm supposed to get off in time, but he couldn't get up. And finally, boy, they're running towards me. He gets up. What I do remember is my little boy, because he's in the back on his horse, and he's chasing out all the steers. And he saw it all, and it really, really upset him. I mean, he was tore up. And I remember, I don't know if the Lord just had me remember this one part, but I remember when I was getting into the ambulance after all that time, and everybody thinking, it's over, that I saw him come up, and he was crying and said, Dad, I love you. And I said, hey, buddy, I love you. I'm fine. And I don't remember the 20 minutes to the hospital. But when I got to the hospital, I'm telling you, I was clear. They had this neck brace on me. That irritated me the most. Because I was a little claustrophobic. And I was just like, how many medical people we have in here? Y'all know, I mean, that. But they didn't know if I broke my neck, and they just didn't know anything. And I said, man, get this thing off me. He said, 30 minutes, I'll have it off of you. And they started running tests. And I want you guys to know that every single test came back clear. They couldn't even find a concussion. And I was a little bit dizzy still, so they kept me overnight. And those cowboys would start coming, and they were crying. And because it upset them so much to see a man of God laying there that was hurt. This is why I want to minister about Psalms 91. I think it's vital for every single one of you to understand what Psalms 91 that she quoted literally says about you and your family. I do it every time before I rope, and I thank God that I pray the way I pray before I rope, because again, there's no telling, had I not prayed it, then I might be in heaven. But I don't think that I need to be there yet. Thank God for the hope that I get to go there because of Jesus being my Lord. But I think that there's still a lot to be done here. The worst thing that I didn't like about hearing that they spread the word that I was killed in the arena was that they were speaking death over me. You see, I don't want anybody to speak death over me. I want you to speak life over me. You see, that's what you need to speak about yourself. You need to start speaking life instead of the fear and the doubt and the unbelief. Now, this only happened 1 week today ago. Body was very sore. I roped last night. My wife did not want me to see this video because she thought maybe some fear would come on me. No. Because I don't have a spirit of fear. I have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, praise God. And I'm not going to live in fear. No, any good cowboy says when you get bucked off, get back on. Because you don't want to live with the regret of allowing that trial and tribulation to determine your outcome in life. No. I'm not going to allow this just minor setback. I missed three rodeos. I missed Deadwood, South Dakota. I missed Lewiston, Montana. And I missed Joseph, Oregon. Well, when you're 16th in the world, you don't want to miss any rodeos because, you know, people then pass you. But you know what? I don't care if they pass me. I still got plenty to go, and I still have a dream. I still have a goal. I still have the vision of making the national finals in the steer open. So no matter what, I'm going to continue to go forward and forget those things that are behind me and press forward to the mark of the high calling. But Psalms 91 is literally why I am still here. It's not a verse that I just take lightly, just kind of speak out as if it doesn't mean anything to me. It's something that means the world to me, because in these times, the enemy, we know this in John 10:10, comes not but for to, say it with me, steal, kill, and destroy. He does not want success to come to our lives. Now, don't get crazy about making a goal or a dream your first priority. No. God is first in my life. My wife is second in my life. My children are third, and roping is probably way down the line. Probably well after you people and my calling to be the pastor of this church. So the goal of making the national finals is not the most important thing to me. But in these last days, the devil does not want you to have success. He does not want you to have a dream. Matter of fact, he wants you to live in the fears, the doubts, and the unbeliefs. But thank God we have Jesus. And we've got the Word of God, the authority to use the name that's above every name. And they're still amazed. That's why I appreciated you singing the song on Miracle, because everybody in Rodeo, I don't know how many, and I apologize if I didn't get some of your calls. Hundreds and hundreds of calls and texts and messages came in from all over the country. But I want them to speak life over me. Amen. They're amazed that I'm still alive because of the hit and how it happened. And I'm telling you, it's hard to watch the horse coming and then slamming me to the ground. Psalms 91 is the reason that I'm here, and I want to speak it into your life this morning. But before, well, let me just read the very first two verses, and then I want to jump over to Exodus chapter 15. Because here's what the Word of God says, verse 1, Psalms 91. Ready? He that dwelleth, think about it, you're dwelling in a place. In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow, the protection. I kind of like the Amplified, because it talks about being fixed under that shadow of the Almighty. In the Amplified, it literally says, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord. So there's something about speaking this word. And look, you can't get saved and by just thinking it. Romans 10:9 says that you've got to confess that Jesus is Lord with your mouth and believe that God raised him up from the dead. Then thou, which is us, shalt be what? Saved. There's something about speaking this stuff. Not just, oh, I hope that I'm protected today. I don't know when it's my time to leave this world, but God has a plan for me. No, how about speaking? No, I'm going to live a long life, a long, satisfied life. I honor my father and mother. That's what I try to train on these kids, college kids. It doesn't matter who it is. No, to honor your mom and dad no matter what, you'll live a long, satisfied life. You know why? Because they brought you into this world and they can take you out. At least that was my mom and dad. I'll kill you, sucker. I always funned with them, though. I said, yeah, but if you kill me, raise me from the dead. I ain't got time to be dead. But I honor them. You see. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Think about this for a second as we turn over to, and hold your place there in Exodus chapter 15. Because we need to read this, because if you don't get a hold of the first two verses in Psalms 91, you won't get a hold of any of it. Because the first two verses are the most important part of Psalms 91. Look what Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26 says. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in the sight of the Lord, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I brought unto the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. We need to focus on the first part of that scripture, just following the commands of the Lord. That's what Deuteronomy chapter 30 even talks about. If you want to have the blessings of the Lord, it starts out by talking about if you'll follow the commands of the Lord and listen to the voice of the Lord, you'll be blessing the city, blessing the field, and all those blessings that Deuteronomy 29 even talks about, 28, so on. But don't miss that first part about being diligent to the voice of the Lord to follow his commandments. In other words, there's a time when you've got to stop being mad and offended at everything and calm down and start forgiving. There's something about not holding grudges and the bitterness against somebody else or something that didn't happen back when. and start living for today and the glorious things that can come from just living here today. Not meditating on all the bad things that happened to Corey Ross when I hit my head in Burrwell, Nebraska, but moving on, knowing that had I not believed Psalms 91 and pled the blood of Jesus before I wrote that day, there's no telling what could have happened to this believer in Jesus Christ. But because I have the protection of God Almighty and I follow His commandments, I'm not saying I don't make mistakes or we won't make mistakes, but I am saying that I don't live in my mistake. I move on. I repent. I get up. I told people on Facebook that, no, you know what? I survived, praise God, and I'm going to get up and dust myself off, and I'm going to start over again. I'm not going to live by the fear of getting hurt by a horse accident. I'm not going to live in fear by, what if I don't make the national? Who cares? I don't care. What I do care about is that I'm alive and well, and I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. And I'm here to speak that word out again. And I don't have to be laying in a coffin. You see. All right, now let's go back to Psalms 91 real fast. Because if you believe the first two verses, here's what's going to happen to you. Verse 3, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Look at the Amplified. It says, the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then he will cover you, verse 4, with his pinions, and under his wing shall you trust and find refuge. Glory be to God. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield. This is verse 4. Amplified, and a buckler. Now look what it says. You shall not be afraid of the terror of night. Now we understand that there's a devil, right? Y'all understand that? I had a guy tell me one time, you know, well, I don't believe in the devil. I said, well, you can't believe in God if you don't believe in the devil. You cannot believe in heaven if you don't believe in hell. You see. And it took a long little study time to help him understand that. All right. You shall not be afraid of the terror of night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots in the Amplified, and slanders of the wicked that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalk in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000, verse 7, shall fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Now, there's probably people going through some stuff in here, probably watching from all over the country. I know I get emails and calls from all over the country of people that watch this service live, and I really appreciate you. Hopefully, one day we'll get the service better. Just. You know, we live so far outside of town that sometimes if the winds are blowing or whatever, that satellite can't see, and it aggravates some people. But, you know, hang in there, because, you know, one day it'll be better. Amen. And I appreciate all of you, all of the calls and the things that I've gotten, but listen to me. If we live by all the junk that's going on in this world today, it's going to mess all of you up. Matter of fact, it's going to make you want to leave church. I was telling Howdy. Howdy told me he went to go see his boy play the last game of soccer. And I said, yeah, go on, man. And so he left just a little bit ago. But when we were talking in there, and I said, you know, it's crazy about people that leave your church. You know, most of them leave in offense. Bad deal. I wish they wouldn't. But then some leave, and, you know, usually they don't tell you. the ones that leave a church. They don't usually tell you. And most of the time, it's because they feel like they're not getting fed. I got to thinking about that, you know, because any pastor, it grieves our heart when people we love, you know, leave a church that we're supposed to pastor. And they'll stay there for a while, and I'm telling you, usually, they'll tell you how great this church is at the start. It's the greatest church I've ever been to. We had a family of about 60 when we first started this church. They've started coming, and which means we only had 80 coming, and one family was 60 people. I'm telling you, every one of them came to me the first month telling me, I've never been to a church this great. It was awesome. And then about 2 months into it, one of them got offended, and all 60 of them left, and we were down to 20. That quick, I was like, wow. It was great 1 minute. And what happens, and he and I was talking about it this morning, what happens is, look, this Bible from Genesis to Revelations is what we call irrevocable. It changes not. It's the same word. So when us ministers are up here preaching it, you're going to hear the same word about faith, maybe said in a different way, over and over and over and over. And after a long period of time, you'll think, oh my God, I've heard it all. And you probably have, but maybe you hadn't heard it in a different way, but you still heard about faith and how faith applies in a believer's life. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we can't keep preaching it differently so that you can see some new revelation or whatever, because eventually, man, you've heard all of it. Now, you may not be applying all of it to your life, but you've heard faith all your life, possibly. And so what happens is you feel like then, since you've heard it all, I've heard that message before. I've heard that story before. Same story in the Bible. What happens is then you'll go trying to search out another church so that you can hear the very same thing, maybe said just a little bit different, a different style or whatever. But then eventually, you're going to hear everything again. And that's why you're starting to see seeker-friendly churches pop up, because they want to try to figure out how to share the word a little bit different so they can make the people hear something different, when in all actuality, you just need to hear the same word over and over until you learn it and apply it in your life. No, you don't need to leave trying to find a different relationship. No, you need to get that relationship where you've been fed the word of God for that time that you loved it, and start building some new relationships maybe. I like Jamie shared this thing that said, if I can say it right, it was a neat deal, because it was the truth, but it said something like, you know, quit leaving the church trying to get better and stay in the church and make it better, you know, you see. Yeah, of course, I'm against church hopping, you know, and all that kind of stuff. So we've got to apply this to our lives in these last days, you see, because we don't want to be those people that are having itching ears and, you know, wanting, you know, if we don't see the gifts of the Spirit moved and someone laying in the floor, you know, out under the Spirit of God, then, man, we need to find a church that, you know, where they lay hands on people and see them, you know, laying down everywhere. Well, that's good, and we've had that here, but, you know, how about just get healed right where you're sitting? How about just receive this word right where you're at? Praise God. You see. All right, let's go on down. Because we're not going to be afraid of the terror by night, right? All the way down in verse 8 says, only with thy eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. In other words, we're going to see a lot of bad things around us because we live in a fallen world, right? But man, that doesn't have to come to us. I remember when the, what was it, in the Bush years or the Obama years are one of them. I mean, just stock market was plunging and scandals and things like that. And I remember I was at a gas station this years ago, and a guy, just didn't even know him. He said, "Well, are you getting hurt being a pastor?" He'd asked me what I did wrong. "You getting hurt by being a pastor? Probably no tithes or offerings are coming into your church because of this economy." And I looked at him and I said, "I'm not participating." And I didn't say anything else. He probably thought I was crazy because he... What? And finally he got it back out of me. What do you mean? I said, "Well, I'm not participating." I said, I've decided I'm not participating in the economy of this world because my God is my provider. Now that opened a lot of doors right there, good and bad. But just the one thing of, I just choose not to participate in the stock market, even though I have money in it. I love gold and silver and so on. You know, thank God for oil, let it go up. For me, I mean, if you got royalties in oil, you want it to go up. Amen. But it's not my provider. God is my provider, see. Okay. See, all of this comes hand in hand when we understand that we live in a world, but it doesn't have to affect us. Not if we understand Psalms 91. Look at what it says in verse 9. "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge." Remember, you've already confessed he's my refuge and my fortress. If you haven't said that, say it. Say it all the time. God's my protector. He's my refuge. You're under his wings. You're under his protection. If Jesus is your Lord, you are under his protection. And the only way you could get out of that is if you lived in sin. So don't live in sin. Live under the shadow of the Almighty. See, all right. Then it goes on to say, "Since he's your refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee." I say it all the time, y'all. I'm not going to go through a trial and tribulation and build a tent in the middle of it. No, I want to get on through it. And that's all this was, is getting through a tragedy. Yes, it happened to me. I mean, I'm not going to doubt and go through my mind of, well, why did it happen? I don't know, but it happened. The good news, though, that I'm going to focus on is I got up an hour later. But I got up. Body sore. Oh, my Lord. I mean, I'm... Whoo! Son of a gun. My neck. That's the worst part. My neck. I guess whiplash. Oh, my neck. For the first 2 days, I had to pick my head up. Hey, what's going on? But thank God I could pick my head up. You see. All right, look. "There shall no evil befall me, neither shall plague come nigh my dwelling." Verse 11, "He shall give his angels charge over me, over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up with their hands, lest you stumble or dash your foot against a stone." In other words, a lot of times we can just kind of be walking. How y'all doing? Kind of walking in this old world. Not focused on all the junk of the world, and just kind of stumble over some stuff. But when you stumble over it, you better have that word of God on the inside of you. When they told me I had Crohn's disease all those years ago, said I'd have to take medicine for the rest of my life, wouldn't ever be able to ride a horse again. I mean, they said all of it to me. You're going to have to change everything in your life, because if you don't change, they're going to have to take more intestine out and more colon until you die. And I looked at that doctor and I said, "No, thank you." And I can imagine him saying, "What? Did you hear me, boy? How much college you got?" 3 years of junior college, Big Spring, Texas.
Take that.
You know what I said, though? I don't receive that in Jesus' name. Because I had the word on the inside of me.
Absolutely.
And I decided to not be in fear and believe the report of a doctor. I mean, praise God, we love them. All my dad's side is doctors. We need them. But they are not the final report,
right,
John.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God's the final report. So I just speaking, man, I didn't care. I'm the one that's hurting here and gotten 16 inches of intestines removed. And I'm declaring to that doctor, I don't want Crohn's, don't receive it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And they wheeled me to my room. And that doctor, as y'all remember, only came in one time. This is when we had the church at Lubbock. One time. He said, "Son, I don't know if you understood me. The two times I told you that you had Crohn's, it's not curable, but it's manageable. That's what you got." And I had these tubes down my throat, so I couldn't really speak it. But Mom and Dad was beside me. And I did this. Mm-mm. And I looked at Mom and Dad. That agreement, moms and dads or just anybody, find a friend to get in agreement with you. I don't want you speaking death over me. If that's you, don't talk to me. Speak life over me. Amen. That's all of us, right? You shall live and not die. When the doctor says a negative report about a believer in Jesus Christ, and all he's doing is giving you the fact, right? The fact that he's saying you're diagnosed with this or that or whatever. But that fact is not the truth.
Amen.
Right.
The truth is the word of God, you see.
Amen.
And the truth, if you'll believe it, will override the fact. You just got to believe it, see. Well, that's what Psalms 91 is. Because you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. You're abiding under that shadow of the Almighty, and then all these things are for you then, but you've got to confess it. You've got to say, "He's my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my provider. He is my healer. He is my protector. He is my fortress. He is my provider." I mean, you've got to speak these things. Don't just think they're all going to come on you. No, I speak the word of God just like I got saved. Lord, come into my life and save me. I didn't think it. I confessed it, see. That's what we've got to do in this word of God. He'll give his angels charge over thee. If you slip up, you dash your foot against the stone, not a problem. Just get up. Keep moving in the word of God. Verse 13, if thou shalt tread upon the lion and the otter, the young lion and the dragon, shall thou trample underfoot. There's a time when you've got to tell the devil out of your mouth to get back under your foot. Mama said one time, "Corey, when you talk to the devil, don't talk out loud." I'll never forget this. 10 years old. I said, "Why, Mama? Why if I talk to the devil, do I got to not talk out loud?" She said, "Because he might hear you." Now, she changed. But what she was saying is that the devil has more power than you. Nuh-uh. Negatory ghost rider. Amen. No, we have Jesus who has that name above every name. Matter of fact, when you say the name of Jesus, the Bible says every demon has to flee. So why wouldn't we just speak the word of God? Why wouldn't we just say, "No, Jesus"? Remember when I was preaching in Abilene in that Coliseum? And man, they were being disrupted down below me. 700-800 people up here, and we're doing church, and I was preaching. And as a high school state finals, I'm looking at the crowd, right? When we preach, Ricky, and I mean, we see you. I see where your eyes go. Some of you watching that video screen and, whatever. But at this particular time, Every single person was watching those people. They wasn't listening to the word of God being spoken and preached. So I'm starting to get ticked off. You know how cowboys get. They're not listening to the word of God, Lord. And I'm thinking this in my mind. And he said, well, just stop and say the name of Jesus. So I did it in mid-sentence. I said, Jesus! He said, say it again. I said, Jesus! And I'm telling you, in that Colosseum, you couldn't hear a pin drop. Those people, that the spirit of you know, that those people had on them, they didn't mean to probably, but this disruptive spirit to try to keep those people from hearing and receiving the word of God got stopped by the name of Jesus. Why? Because at his name, every demon has to flee. Let me see what time it is. Praise God, I got 7-8 minutes. It's a preacher rule. You can't quit until it's 12. Well, except at the Baptist church, and then we got to get to First Cafeteria first. But they don't have any around here, so it don't matter. Look, real fast. I know, and I love Furs and Lubies, and man, they're shutting them all down. Dadgummit. Verse 14, because he set his love upon me. All right, so how many, if you're a believer in here, and if you're not, you will be. Amen. A lot of people get saved here. It's amazing. How many of you that are a believer in Jesus Christ know that God loves you? Okay, look what it says here. Look what it says. Let me back up. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver and I'll set him free. Now God started to talk to us. Because we love God and know he loves us. God says, I'll deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him and will be with him in trouble. Thank God he was with me. I'm telling you guys, I'm just saying, it's a miracle of God that I wasn't killed in that arena. It's a miracle of God that I don't have any kind of damage to my brain. You got headaches? No. No, sir. Mm-mm. Yeah, but you were out way too long. You couldn't. I mean, it knocked the breath out of me, so it freaked everybody out because I couldn't breathe. And then I'm out, of course. I'm just saying it's a miracle of God that I pray Psalms 91 over me and my family. Let me read this to you and I'll close. Praise the Lord. I keep one of these books with me. Charles Capp, great guy. Man, great man of God. I keep this with me all the time. I could quote this whole thing in memory at one time. It's just called God's Creative Power. You need to get one. I think we sell them at the bookstore. I'll give them to you if you don't have money. And if we don't have any, then Heidi can get us plenty. I keep this in my pocket, God's Creative Power, because I understand about the spiritual law, not a theory, the spiritual law of understanding this word of God and how it's for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. Because it's not a theory. In fact, it's a spiritual law, the confession of the word of God, that it works every time it's applied correctly. This is a spiritual law that God never does anything without saying it first. You can go all through the word of God on the creation in Genesis, and God spoke it before it came to pass. He always said, let there be light. Really, most people translate that correctly, not into English, but it's correctly translated, light be, because he's speaking it. Well, it's the same thing for you and I, how we need to speak it first, because God is a faith God. He's released his faith in words. And Jesus, remember, in Mark 11, he said, answering them and said, have faith in God. Really, it's translated, have the God kind of faith. That's the more literal translation. In Ephesians 5 and 1, it literally tells us to be imitators of God as dear children, how they imitate their parents. In other words, to imitate God, you've got to talk like him, and you have to act like him. So that's why we're in Psalms 91 supposed to say that God is my refuge, that God is my fortress, that God is my protector, and so on. You know, he would not ask you to do something that you're incapable of doing, in other words. Jesus operated in faith. He operated in the faith principles. All the scriptures of Mark 11 and 23, Matthew 17 and verse 20, I believe. While he was on this earth, he spoke those things. Remember, he spoke to the wind. He spoke to the sea. He spoke to demons. He spoke to a fig tree. He spoke to dead men. Lazarus, come forth. He didn't say it under his breath. He was speaking these things constantly. In other words, Jesus was imitating his Father. Ladies and gentlemen, that's what you and I have to do today. We've got to start speaking this word. We've got to start saying that God's our refuge, our fortress. He's our protector. And I want you to do it over your kids as well. Thank God that my family taught me this through the Word of God. And thank God now I'm teaching that boy that was sitting right there to speak the Word of God. Matter of fact, when you was confessing it, he had both hands up. Because there's something about the enemy trying to steal, kill, and destroy today. Why? Because he's about to be defeated. Jesus is about to come back to get us, y'all. So, this morning, I want to declare to you that God is my refuge. God is my fortress. So why don't we say that together? God is my refuge. Say it again. God is my refuge. Now say he's your fortress. God is my fortress. Say it again. God. Say God is my provider. God is my helper. God is my source. God is my protector. God is my all. He's my all in all. He is the one that I'll ever have. And I'm going to serve him for the rest of my life. Protected by the blood of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over me, over my family, over my job, over my employees, over my life. God is my source. In Jesus' name. Now give him praise. Amen. Thank you. Oh, Jesus. Now, before I lead someone to Jesus and we're gone, I leave in the morning to go to Dodge City, Kansas, Tuesday. From Dodge City, we go to Dalhart, and then they've invited me to rope in this real big roping called Spicer Grip in Hereford, Texas. So I'll be, it's a very big one. I think they add like $20,000, kind of like we do. And then from there, I go to Lovington, New Mexico. From Lovington, New Mexico, I'm going to drive for a day, 16 hours, to Mound City, Kansas. And from Mound City, Kansas, I'm going to go down to Kimball, Nebraska. From Kimball, Nebraska, I'm going to go across to Douglas, Wyoming. From Douglas, Wyoming, up to Billings, Wyoming. From Billings to Baker, Montana. From Baker, Montana, I'm going to be tired. In the meantime, I'm going to be telling people about Jesus. I'm going to trust that this church grows without me. I'm going to trust that people come even if their pastor's gone for a couple more months. I'm going to trust that new people will come in here and get to join this church. I'm going to trust that the finances will not go down like most pastors tell me, all my friends, that it go down and the attendance goes down in the summer because everybody travels. Not us. Matter of fact, we grow in the summer because people still need the Word of God even though they might be gone for a month or week or whatever. I'm going to pray that every single one of you is protected by the blood of Jesus because we just pled the blood of Jesus over you and your family. I'm going to believe that people will be saved, they'll be healed, they'll be delivered, and they'll be set free to the glory of God in Jesus' name. So with that said, and every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in here and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, people come from all over Austin area. One guy not very long ago told me he had been to 20 churches and never had been to a church that gave a salvation plan. Of course, I don't understand that. There's usually going to be a new believer that needs to hear how to give their lives to Jesus. It won't miraculously just happen. You got to learn what the Bible says about you and how to give your life to Him. Here's what it says. Romans 10:9 says that it uses the word thou, that's us. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that means you invite Him into your life to be your Lord. And then you believe that God raised Him from the dead, you'll be saved. Saved from what, preacher? Well, I like to help people understand you're saved from a place called hell. That's a bad place and you don't want to go there. And I don't want you to go to hell. It'd be terrible. I want you to go to a place called heaven. But I can't make you. I can't make you give your life to Jesus Christ. By the way, He's the one that we celebrate as a country in His birth called Christmas. Our country still celebrates His resurrection called Easter. They may do it in a little worldly way, but we just help people understand it now. Jesus is the one that we celebrate in His resurrection. So you just believe that God raised Jesus from the dead and you'll be saved. You'll be saved from hell. But listen to me. You'll be saved from having to live on this earth without a Savior. Now you've got a Savior. You can talk to Him. You've got the Word of God as a manual. You've got believers that will edify you and build you up and speak life over you, in you, to you. You'll be able to cast every care upon the Lord. Thank God for that. Everything. Any trouble you're going through, relationship, marriage, finances, health. If you're living in fear, suicide, depression, I don't care what it is. Not sleeping at night. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. If you're having trouble sleeping at night, I break that curse of your mind causing you not to sleep. I say, mind, calm down and allow proper rest to come to your body in Jesus' name. And now if that's you, just say amen. I say it to myself, amen. But if Jesus is not your Lord, I want you to confess this prayer with me. We're just going to pray Romans 10. All the believers in here, I want you to pray it as well. But if you're here this morning and you don't know if you'd go to heaven or hell if you died, ask Jesus to come into your life by praying this prayer. I'll lead you in it. You ready? Out of your mouth, believers, pray it as well. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart and I confess that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me of all my sins because I believe You've been raised from the dead. And I thank You that You're my Lord, You're my Savior, You're my friend. In Jesus' name I pray. Now if you just prayed that prayer, no one looking around, just honoring the people beside you and maybe closing your eyes if you don't mind, just in honor of God, or bowing your head at least. If you just gave your life to Jesus and you prayed that prayer for the very first time, don't you be ashamed of it. Man, I want you to rejoice. All I'm going to ask you to do with no one looking around, please. And I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to have you stand up. What I am going to have you do is if you just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want you to raise your hand when I say one, two, three. When I say three, I want you to say, God, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. I gave my life to Jesus this morning. Now, if you've already given your life to Jesus, then don't raise your hand. You need to have confidence that you're born again and no man can steal your salvation. But if you're here this morning and you just gave your life to Jesus, then shoot that hand up when I say three and don't you be ashamed. And then just put it right back down. That's all you're doing is saying, God, I prayed that prayer and I meant it. Thank you that Jesus is now my Lord. You ready? One, with every bit of boldness in Jesus' name. Two, three, go. Thank you, Lord. All right, look at me, everybody. That means every single person in here, unless you is in fear, is born again. Okay? And I'm okay with that. I mean, I love it when people give their lives to Jesus, but listen, this message is for all of us this morning. Let's live by Psalms 91. Amen? And then keep living. And keep praying for your pastor. Amen? And I love y'all more than you know. Thank you. Thank you for coming to this church and for plugging in, for understanding when your pastor's gone. But I'm coming back. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Did y'all have a good time this morning?